is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back. This is hour number two of the Lombardi Line, presented by BetMGM. Femi Abebefe alongside Michael Lombardi, hanging out at the Circa Resort and Casino. We had a fun hour number one. Rich Fast. Gannon stopped by, former NFL MVP.
Got TG coming up at the bottom of the hour. He's loading up the Brinks truck with all that 76er money he's got in. You know they're all going to just can't wait.
It's not just the Sixers. We talked to him yesterday, and he said that the Sixers and the New York Knicks obviously are a big liability for them in the futures market, as well as the Boston Celtics in the Eastern Conference title market. So I mean, all those teams won.
You know, when you watch the Knicks-Cavs game, I thought it was a really good game. And to me, the Knicks showed the mental toughness that you need to do to be able to. You knew Cleveland was going to make a run. You knew Cleveland was going to eventually maybe get the lead. They had so many opportunities in the third quarter to get the lead. They went down at by the end of the – but I thought the mental toughness of the Knicks is different this year than it's ever been. And like I said to JVT, I didn't think Randall, one of their best players, played his best, and they still won, which to me is a great indication of the future.
Yeah, this is a different team than the Knicks team we saw 2 years ago that made the playoffs that lost to Atlanta in the first round. That team, it was almost like, okay, it's kind of happy to be here. This Knicks team is mentally tough, and they're really built. Tom Thibodeau did a terrific job, I thought, yesterday.
Yeah, and you know, for all the criticism he gets for the lack of offense, I thought his team offensively played well. And, you know, they did a good job as well as you can on Mitchell. And I just think, to me, it's great to have the Garden alive in May.
It is. No, I can't wait for Game 3 and Game 4 at MSG. Well, let's talk a little NFL here, because the Washington Commanders, it's a new day in our nation's capital.
Yeah.
As they're agreed to a sale between Daniel Snyder and then the Philadelphia 76ers and New Jersey Devil owner Josh Harris, $6.05 billion. And I think just as an overall football fan, I'm happy that we can kind of close the Snyder chapter with the Washington Commanders there, because that franchise, I just remember as a kid, they were one of the top franchises in the NFL. Being a Cowboys fan, those Cowboys-Washington games were always must-see TV, big deals.
Me too.
And it kind of deteriorated to just nothing based on the state of the team.
I grew up a Washington fan. You know, Lombardi left the Packers in 69 to go there, and I was 10 years old and stayed a Washington fan up until the time I got paid by the 49ers. So, you know, I know the history of the franchise. I know RFK Stadium. Yeah. The band, the marching band, the fight song, all the great things that happened. And over the last 24 years, systematically through a pattern of reckless behavior, Snyder destroyed it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, winning 164 games and only two playoff wins during that time. I mean, it just shows you that bad management. Now, I think the challenge for Josh Harris and his ownership group is you just can't hang a sign out in front of the door and say under new management. Like, you've got to be proactive and demonstrate to the fan base that there is new management, that things are going to change. And I'm not sure Josh Harris knows the level of problems that were in that organization, the depth of those problems. And I think that's something that's going to take some time to cleanse and clean out. And I wrote about this for tomorrow's Daily Coach, about how hard that is going to be for the process for them. They're going to have to get their boots on the ground, because everybody's going to have an opinion on how to fix the problem. And what Steve Jobs did when he came back to Apple, he focused on what the core problems were, not what everybody thought the problems were. Look, Washington has a boatload of problems, whether it's on the field or off the field, but the new owner's got to figure out what is the most important and urgent ideas, and I think that's going to help move them. And the fan base is going to be excited because of the new ownership. This is a great time. If I were the owner, I would essentially rebrand the team. I think I would get rid of anything that had to do with Snyder. I mean, I would get rid of anything that had to do with Snyder, and I would start anew. I would keep the history books intact, but I would get anything that had to do with this man, because he's destroyed the franchise for so long. I mean, this is a historic franchise.
100%.
And he has destroyed it to win 164 games and only two playoff games since 1999. I mean, this is a team that when the NFL is going great, the Washington football team is great. The NFL needs Washington to be great. It's a nation's capital. You know, there used to be dignitaries and presidents would go to games. Nobody's going to the game. So I would start all over. I would start all over. I would go back to the gold pants of the old days and the burgundy uniforms. And I know they're not allowed to use their former name, but I would find a way to kind of tie the past into the future, the past of the Kent Cook past to the future, to basically rebrand the team and say, here we're going.
You know, you mentioned 24 years under the ownership of Daniel Snyder. Like, that's a full generation of fans who were lost.
They have no idea.
They went over to probably being Baltimore Raven fans.
They sure
or something
they
like that, because the Ravens are a well-run organization, I mean, a couple of Super Bowls. And
I mean, they were so proud. It used to be a 10-year waiting list to get season tickets. They used to have presidents and foreign dignitaries come to the game. I mean, you would see in old RFK Stadium, you know, Jack Kent Cook would be sitting next to, you know, these incredibly worldwide leaders. You know, you don't see that anymore. They hung Super Bowl banners in that stadium. They don't anymore. They've won two playoff games in the last 24 years. That's not a fender bender. That's a pattern of reckless behavior that starts and ends with Daniel Snyder. And until they get rid of him, until they cleanse themselves of all his sins, they're going to have a hard time winning the fans back. Mm-hmm. And I think Josh Harris has no idea today how bad the problems are when he walks into that building in Ashburn, because they're ingrained into the building, you know. And you have so many people that have said, well, this is the way we've done it, you know. And even though people knew Snyder was bad, they've kind of been trained to be bad. And you're going to have to untrain a lot of people.
Yeah, got to scrub it of any sort of Daniel Snyder scent or anything like that in that building, because they've been in the dumps, to be quite honest.
Right.
But I think one way, though, for this team to kind of reignite the fan base and just get some positive energy is maybe make a big splash.
Well, I think they need to be smart, right? I think that's the one thing Snyder has. If you were to say, what did Snyder do when he was the owner? He always tried to make a big splash. Sign this player. He makes a great hire in Mike Shanahan, but then he tries to take away the authority from Mike Shanahan. Hires Marty Schottenheimer, fires him after one season. You know, I mean, he's always tried to make a big splash. If I'm Josh Harris, I'd try to find to go in there and get to the core essence of the problem. Is Ron Rivera the right coach? Mm. Giving him the complete authority to run the entire team, is that the smart thing to do? Is that where we're going? Should I have somebody separate personnel? You know, in basketball, he's got Daryl Morey running the 76ers front office. He's got Doc. So how does he want to work that? And then he's got to figure out how to get his organization not on the same page, because I think that's ridiculous. He's got to get his organization aligned. That's going to take some time and challenges.
If you were Josh Harris and you decided that, hey, our quarterback situation's a little murky right now. Sam Howell is slated to be the week one starter. There's a guy across the way in the DMV, Lamar Jackson, who's looking for a fully guaranteed contract. That could be a way to bring some confidence, because when you look at that roster,
$6.05 billion to wait. I think he's got to get some excitement. And look,
that roster's not far off.
This is a player, the one player we need, and it shifts the balance of power, right? So if you're in the NFC right now, you know, and all these Giant fans think they're great, right? They think they have their team going. And we know that their team won't go if Washington ever had a quarterback. Mm-hmm. You know, they can't beat Philly. They're not beating Dallas. So at some point, you know, for all the you got to shift the balance of power. How do you do that? I get the best quarterback on my team. I get one of the – if I bring Lamar to the NFC, I'm going to have a top five quarterback in the league, let alone a top five quarterback in the NFC.
Yeah.
He's better than Goff. He's better than Kirk Cousins. You can say, well, he doesn't. The guy's won 45 games in the National Football League. Nobody wants to give him credit for that. Like, nobody – they want to dismiss that as an afterthought. When in reality, he's responsible for 45 wins. So – because remember, when he took over for Flacco his rookie season, he took him to the playoffs.
Yep.
They were a bad team with Flacco, and they became a good team with him at quarterback. They won the division. So for me, I think that if I were Josh Harris, I would – but again, I talked about alignment to start off with. How do you create alignment when you want to sign Lamar and your head coach doesn't think he needs Lamar? See, I think it's almost, to me, if I were Josh Harris, I would treat this as I would treat it as an expansion team. Mm. I would cleanse the entire organization and start anew.
So it's almost like this year, you're not really punting on the season, but this is an evaluation season.
That's right.
Evaluate everybody. Hey, look, what is Rivera actually bringing? Mm-hmm. What about Bieniemy? Like, what are we doing defensively?
Most leaders come in with the 100-day plan. Here's my 100-day plan. And I think it's the biggest mistake you could make. You have to have a 100-day look-back plan. What am I really dealing with here? What am I really dealing with? You really need a notepad and a pencil and a pen to write down all the problems. And then like Steve Jobs, when he went back to Apple and took over, he focused on truly what the core problems were. Everybody had solutions for what's wrong. I mean, the day Josh Harris walks into the building, he's going to get hit with 15 people to tell him what the problems are. All of them will be different. None of them will be the right problem. So he's got to be able to step back and look and observe from afar and then build the kind of organization he wants. He wants, not the kind of organization that everybody else wants.
This Commanders team, I just keep going back to looking at their roster, the team that they have outside of the quarterback position. It's a pretty good team.
Other than the offensive line, and they could draft an offensive lineman here because I think they'll get a tackle, but they've tried to repair the offensive line. Look, they've got weapons offensively. You know, their defense should be better. They were better last year. They've been able to rush the passer to get something out of Chase. They have a chance to make a move. If you put Lamar on their team, okay, we always ask Vinny and Chris Andrews and Thomas Gable, all the betting guys we have, their number will shift if they move Lamar. That's a fact. Mm-hmm. And to me, that's the most important thing. And the number didn't shift when the Giants brought Daniel Jones back. Okay? It didn't. The number would shift if Daniel Jones went to the Giants. The number would, excuse me, if Lamar went to the Giants, the number would shift if Lamar went to Washington.
Yeah, well, the Giants picked up Darren Waller. We saw the number just stay the same there. And you wonder sometimes with some of these moves, I call it shuffling papers, or are you actually making some moves? A lot of teams shuffle papers in the offseason.
Yeah, a lot of teams aren't even trying to win. They're just pretending.
If I act like I'm looking to win, maybe they'll believe me. Let's talk some NFL draft on the other side. This is the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It is time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app, BetMGM Sports. BetMGM has all your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today and stop by any MGM casino on the Strip with your state-issued ID to open an account and start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. Welcome back. This is the Lombardi Line. He's Michael Lombardi. I'm Femi Abebefe. We're hanging out here at the Circa Resort and Casino in downtown Las Vegas. And one of the cool things about doing these shows and talking about the NFL draft is that you can see the movement live in this. And we just saw a little bit of movement. I'm looking at the BetMGM website right now. The third overall pick market. This is really interesting because of the whole discussion with the Houston Texans. Probably not sold on taking one of these QBs. CJ Stroud, who yesterday, plus 400 to go third overall. Now plus 275.
Jump it now. It's going to go down. It's going to continue to go down. I think it's going to become pretty much common knowledge by the end, by Wednesday or Thursday of the week, that teams were now doing their homework on Stroud past two. Everybody just assumed Houston was taking a quarterback. Mm-hmm. And that assumption was wrong because, again, it's easy for mock draft guys to put a quarterback there because they don't grade players. They just place players, but when you grade players, you have to have a grade on a player to substantiate picking them the second overall. I don't believe Houston can do that with Stroud. So I think Stroud is definitely going third or later, unless Houston gets a lot for somebody to trade up, which I don't anticipate them doing. My sense of it is the way teams view this quarterback draft class is everybody's got a problem. Why would I give up an asset to inherit a problem? I might as well just take which one comes to me. As Rich Gannon said, you know, we're making excuses for them all anyway. So why not? Why would I give up a third round pick? I mean, remember 2 weeks ago, everybody wanted Chris Ballard to trade up to three to just move one spot. He doesn't have to move anywhere. He can decide whether he wants Stroud, whether he wants Levis, whether he wants Richardson. One of those three guys are going to be there. One of those three guys have problems. They all have problems. What problem does he want? I don't think he really cares. I think, you know, he probably has his order probably would be Levis, Stroud, Richardson, or Levis, Richardson, Stroud. But to me, I think why would he give up a pick when he's got three players he would pick?
Yeah, they could all be in the same range from a grade standpoint. He just says, whichever one falls to me at four, I'll go ahead and draft them. It is interesting because C.J. Stroud, a month ago or so, prohibitive favorite to go number one.
Because nobody knows what they're talking about, Femi. Nobody interviews none of these people that had him going there. The day the trade happened, I said it was going to be Bryce Young. Mm-hmm. I was driving in, was heading to Memphis. I was in the car with Millie. And, you know, I got the trade comes down. I'm on the phone, and I think I did Tim Murray and Sean King's show that day and said, I really believe this is going to be Bryce Young. And then since then, I've been on Bryce Young. It's not, you have to understand the tape to understand who's going to get picked. And then the more you watch C.J. Stroud, Rich Gannon talked about they don't call, Rich Stroud doesn't call a play. Mm-hmm. He looks to the sideline to get a number. You know, and then they code it out. It's going to be a transition for him. Plus, nobody knew the player. Nobody knew the personality. Nobody knew the kid. So you can't make that. You know, everybody just watches the player play. They don't go inside. The player has to be in your building. The character is important.
So when you watch Stroud on tape, because I know you've watched a lot of Ohio State stuff, where do you see his range of outcomes when he becomes a quarterback in the NFL? Like, do you see him as like a top 15 quarterback? Fringe top 10, or do you maybe not even like him at all? Like, is this the guy that you think could end up being a bust? Like where do you
I think there's a lot range? There's a lot to like about him. I mean, obviously his arm, I think he throws with better anticipation than Fields did. I never liked Fields because I thought his delivery was bad. His mechanics, which are still really bad, were bad. His is better, Stroud's are better. And I thought Fields had no ability to anticipate the throw. You know, the guy's going to run a dig, and you've got to throw that dig before the guy really breaks into the dig. And so I didn't feel like Stroud. I thought Stroud's better at that. I just think, to me, it's going to take him some time. That Ohio State offense, for all the conversation that it's a pro-style offense, is not a pro-style offense. And so there's nothing about that offense that's going to help him in the pro game. Mm-hmm. And I think it's going to take some time. And I think a lot of that is how comfortable are you with the person? You know, because this is a marriage. You got to be really. This is a guy you're putting in your locker room is going to lead your team, and I think Houston said, "Look, I'm here," and I've written this for VSiN. I've said it on the air. Houston said to themselves, "I'd rather take the sure thing, Will Anderson or Wilson, than take something that I'm not sure of."
Mm. And it's interesting with the Ohio State quarterbacks because I feel like that's now become the conversation is that offense, that school doesn't produce good NFL quarterbacks. But I think one thing I've always read about when scouts talk about finding players that you want to scout the player and not the helmet. But is there something just fundamentally different about their offense that maybe hides some of their deficiencies?
Yeah, I mean, most colleges do. I mean, it's one of the things that made Justin Herbert, that offense was so bad that you couldn't see his skill set in that offense. And so when he went to the Senior Bowl, you're like, wow, this kid's different. Yeah, I mean, what happens is they're running an offense that's conducive to Stroud. That offense isn't going to be conducive to the NFL. So you've got to read through the layers. Remember, in scouting, you're scouting plays and players. You got to understand the play to understand the player. What are they asking the player to do? What's the scheme here? What's he reading? What's going on here? You know, how does he work his way back? It's one of the things with Head and Hooker. You know, that offense is very one side of the field. You got to go back to Virginia Tech and see if he's reading across. Now, one thing about Hooker, great kid, great leader. You put him in on your team. He's got pocket presence. He can work the pocket. A lot of these young quarterbacks, they don't understand how to climb the ladder in the pocket. Climbing the ladder in the pocket is meaning you're going to step up into the throw. Right? You understand how to step up. Those are hard things to teach. It's instinctive.
Mm. So Stroud right now, once again, plus 275 to go third overall.
I recommend this hard. I really do. I think if you're listening to this and you want to try to make a little money on the draft, I would say unless you get blindsided by a trade, which I don't think is happening, because I don't think there's a lot of movement to get up to get this. It isn't like, oh, we've got Stroud rated a 9-0. Yeah, I think the whole conversation that it was Stroud or Young was a little bit media driven. I think Carolina knew it was Young all along.
Well, right now the third overall pick is owned by the Arizona Cardinals, who people are anticipating will move out of that selection.
If they can.
Because the market right now is telling you it's going to be a quarterback because Richardson's the favorite to go third overall at plus 125, which brings us to the Richardson versus Levis market, because that is one that for the last week or so, Richardson was like minus 300, minus 310, I believe, for a fact, to go ahead of Will Levis. Now we've seen that flip to where Levis is minus 135, Richardson now plus 105 in their head-to-head matchup, which kind of coincides with what you've been hearing, that teams are a little bit higher on Levis than maybe the draft Knicks and the media.
Yeah, well, I mean, Mel Kiper's high on Levis. He thinks he's the best quarterback in the draft.
He's, he's out on an island, though.
Yeah, but I do think this. I think Levis can – I'm not in love with Levis. I'm not in love with Richardson either. To me, this goes back to what Polian said about, you know, we're just making cases. You got your bag of excuses. I mean, remember, at the end of the year, when Richardson got done playing, everybody said it'd be good. He needs to go back for another year. Now, all of a sudden, we're talking about making him the third pick overall in the draft. What happened to that conversation? The further we get away from tape, the less logical we become, which is really a problem. So, for me, I think Levis is the only one that you could honestly say we can put him in the game and play next year. You could put him in a game and play next year. Now, is he going to be good enough? I don't know. But you could put him in a game and play next year. You cannot put Richardson in a game and play. You cannot do that. You could put him out there, but he's not going to play well. He's going to mess up your team. You're going to have a lot of problems. Could you put him in on spot duty? Maybe. But you're not putting him out there to play. Lamar Jackson didn't even – they were redshirting Lamar until they had no choice. But Lamar had won the Heisman at Louisville. He had had way more production than this kid's ever had. And if you want to compare Levis to Richardson – if you want to, I mean, one, they both played in the Southeast Conference. Levis played better than him in the Southeast Conference, threw the ball better than he did. If you just want to compare apples to an apple. So to me, you know, even the games where people say Richardson got better, he played good against Utah. If you watch the tape from a professional standpoint, not from a fan standpoint, it really wasn't very good. It was good athletically, it was good running, but it wasn't good quarterbacking play.
It's a good sizzle reel.
Yeah. I mean, look, I love Richardson. I'm sitting here on the show saying I would have bet him for the Heisman. Because I thought he was going to show steady improvement. Richardson's a good kid. There's nothing wrong with his character. He is a kind of kid that, you know, is not an alpha male. He's not going to drive the team. He doesn't have that Steph Curry, Bryce Young personality. He's going to do what you ask him to do. Now, if you tell him that he's got to do more, you got to tell him he's got to do more. He's not going to do. He's been so gifted that he's not been trained to be the underachiever.
So your guess right now, as we sit here, 10 days or so away from the NFL draft. I think 11 days to be exact. Number one, Bryce Young. Number two, Will Anderson.
I think that's right.
Number three, the team didn't trade up
could be
for
Carter.
Some sort of quarterback.
Could I don't be, think the team Carter. Will trade up. I think it could be Jalen Carter. I'm not sure a team. I think you'll see. I think Seattle and Detroit will take defensive ends and rushers.
Carter right now is 25-1 to go third overall.
Yeah. We'll find out more about him by the end of the week because he's been visiting a bunch of places. He was in Seattle on Friday.
He was in Vegas this past week.
Yeah, was here too.
But we'll talk during the break and see what the notes were from that meeting.
I'm not allowed to talk about it. In fact, we don't even talk about it at the family dinner table now. We talk about 76er basketball, not Raiders.
Let's talk some Sixers with our buddy Thomas Gable coming up next.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today and get a daily email recapping the best bets from our show hosts and guests. You'll also get unlimited access to our VSiN.com/picks page. Sort picks by sport, matchup, event date, and more. Check the top VSiN expert leaderboard to view betting records, profit, and ROI and see which VSiN expert has the hot hand on the dice. For VSiN Pro picks, betting splits, power ratings, plus 24/7 video access, become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Sign up now for only $9.99 at VSiN.com/subscribe. Welcome back. This is the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM. Femi Abebefe alongside Michael Lombardi here at the Circa Resort and Casino. And joining us now, as he usually does every single Sunday morning, it's our guy, Thomas Gable, race and sportsbook director over at the Borgata. TG, hope all is well. Before we get into today's games in the NBA, how'd you guys make out yesterday? The Knicks won, the Sixers won. Must have been a happy day out there in Atlantic City.
A happy day for bettors, I think. Yeah, I mean, the Sixers, it was interesting for the Sixers game. We were actually taking some Brooklyn money, so the result there with the Sixers covering was ended up being decent for the house. And, you know, the Sixers looked very, very good. Didn't force things early to Embiid. They were taking and hitting everything from the outside. Harden had a great game. Now, they probably aren't going to shoot like that every night. In fact, I know they aren't going to shoot like that every night, but nice, easy victory for them to get that series underway. The other games yesterday, the Hawks-Celtics game, not much of a decision on that one. You did see that number jump on the Celtics. It closed over 10 and a half. So, but again, lost a little bit on that game, not much. But, yeah, I mean, the Knicks winning outright, not a good result for us at all here. Even people taking them on the money line. So they got rewarded with that. And the Kings-Warriors game late, again, the decision there kind of lied for us was on the total. Bettors were taking that, betting that big total, 237.5. It did close over, so they ended up getting rewarded. So, yeah, a little bit of a rough start to the playoffs for us yesterday. Today's a new day.
TG, how will you adjust the numbers after, okay, we've watched the first four games, right? So now there's going to be an adjustment. And will you stay pretty much with the 8.5, or are you going to adjust the number because you saw the matchups in, like, Philly and we saw the matchups with Boston, Atlanta as we go through that? How much of an adjustment from game to game will you make in the line?
Well, Philly's going to be higher than 8.5. They're probably going to be around 10 or so tomorrow night. And for Boston, I mean, you saw that close around 10.5. That's probably where it's going to be. I mean, Boston, again, they got out to such a hot start in the first half and just were dominant. Atlanta did come back a little bit, but never were really in that game. So I don't think the Boston number where it closed for last game at 10.5 probably is going to be about where it closes for game two. I do expect the Philly number, though, to definitely close higher than game one.
We're speaking with Thomas Gable, racing sportsbook director over at the Borgata. TG, let's talk about the games coming up later this afternoon. The first one, Lakers and the Grizzlies, a series that everybody's looking forward to. Memphis right now out to a 4-point favorite, total 228. Are you guys just getting a bunch of Memphis money coming in here as we're getting closer to tip-off?
Yeah, a decent amount coming in here on the Grizzlies. And, you know, without Steven Adams and Brandon Clark, they may struggle to match up with the size of the Lakers. The Lakers have everyone available, and since the trade deadline, this L.A. team, they rank first defensively. And there's no doubt that if these games are played in the half court, it's going to be an advantage for the Lakers, especially if John Morant is on the floor for Memphis. When Morant's on the floor, they're going to look to get out in transition, and that's where Morant really flourishes, in the open court. The Lakers, though, with Anthony Davis and LeBron James, they traditionally start out slow in game ones. They're just 2-5 in game ones dating back to the 2019-2020 season. So I do like L.A. overall in this series. I think that getting them at the plus price right now, but I would lean towards the Grizzlies here today.
How about the we know the Suns and the Clippers, everybody's kind of back and forth who they like. I kind of like, this is to me one of those series that everybody thinks is going to go seven. Where are you on this one, TG?
This to me, I think, is going to be a fascinating series. You know, we haven't seen much of a sample of Kevin Durant in Phoenix, but what we've seen, you can't argue with. And, but I think it's really the Clippers that make this so intriguing. They're a deeper team than the Suns. We don't really know what team is going to show up for L.A. They're a little unpredictable. You won't get Paul George. So now Russell Westbrook, he's going to be forced to play a bigger role, and not something that Clippers fans should particularly be excited to see. But, you know, Kawhi Leonard still can carry this team. On paper, Suns, they should be rightfully favored to come out of the West. But I would have trouble betting them right now with how long the playoffs are and their overall lack of depth. I certainly see this series potentially going 6-7 games. And I think that's not going to necessarily behoove the Suns in their quest to get to the NBA championship. They need some quick series, I think.
One game that we haven't talked about is the late game in the Western Conference with the number one seed Denver Nuggets hosting the Minnesota Timberwolves. Denver 7.5-point favorites, total 224.5. The spot feels like it's pretty tough here for Minnesota. Only one day in between the final play-in game and now having to go play at altitude.
Yeah, it is a tough spot. And you've seen this number go up. So opened around 6.5, 7. Now pretty much everybody's at 7.5. A lot of 8s, though, out there on this game. So Nuggets coming into this playoffs well-rested. They have home court advantage throughout. And we know this is a franchise. have never had success in the playoffs. So can this be the year that Jokic leads them to the title? He almost averaged a triple-double this season, 24.5 points per game, 11.8 rebounds, 9.8 assists per game. But the guys around him, Jamal Murray, Michael Porter Jr., Aaron Gordon, this is a supporting cast that is more than capable. And Jokic is going to have to contend there with Karl Anthony Towns and Rudy Gobert. Towns looks good again after missing 52 games with the right calf injury. And having him on the court at the same time as Gobert seems to be a work in progress in terms of getting their spacing right. But I wouldn't expect to see the Nuggets really go small against them much. I think, again, that this Denver team is very talented. I really like them to come out of the West here. I just think Jokic is going to try to send a message here in the playoffs this year. You know, he got probably the MVP is going to be going to Michael's boy Embiid there this year. And might have been a little Jokic fatigue there with the voters, but I think he's going to come out and send a message.
It's interesting, TG, because we have the Nuggets at +350 in the BetMGM market to win the West. And the Suns are still the favorite, but you think that's a really good price there, huh?
I do. Yeah, I like the Nuggets.
Oh, how about that?
Yeah, I love it. Nobody's taking them seriously. I think he's right. They have bench. They have depth. Yeah. And, you know, there's no great team. Why not now? If not now, when, right?
And Jokic, to TG's point, has been the best player in the Western Conference over the last 3 years.
No, and he's still the best player in the league this year, but he's not going to win the award because there's been a campaign.
Your boy's going to get elected here in a few weeks.
Yes, he is.
How about the game that's going to be tipping off later this afternoon, though, between the Miami Heat and the Milwaukee Bucks here? Milwaukee's been getting bet 9.5, I'm seeing, as a consensus number here, TG. Total 220. Any look for you in this game?
Yeah, so you're seeing a lot of places 9.5 tick up. Again, this could be another one that you see get a little bit even higher here. With the Bucks, it's been a while for their regulars to have some meaningful minutes on the court and really haven't played since April 5th. But now they have their full complement of players. Chris Middleton, he had his MRI come back clean, but you wonder how many minutes he's going to play. Miami comes in here, big underdog, after they lost to Atlanta in the first playing game, then they dispatched Chicago. But this is not the same Miami team we have known for years. There's a reason that Milwaukee's favored to win it all this year, and this should be a relatively easy series for them. And they can just kind of sit back and await the winner of the Cleveland-New York series.
Yeah, I mean, that Miami, I think Miami's numbers are playing off of past performance. I mean, they needed all they could do to beat the Bulls. And, you know, to me, that they're just not the same team. They're going to have to figure this out.
No, I agree. I think there's a little bit of love here for the Heat based on past years. And this just isn't the same team. So they might be a little bit overvalued at this point.
Yeah, well, they're a big underdog today over in Milwaukee, taking on the Bucks, who are the favorite to go ahead and win the NBA title this season. Thanks, TG. Thomas Gable, Racing Sportsbook Director over at the Borgata. We'll talk to you soon, buddy.
Thanks, TG. Appreciate it.
Thank you, guys.
Good stuff in there. I agree with him on this Clippers Suns as well as JVT. That's the one bet I have. We'll talk about that on the other side.
Everybody's going Suns. They love Durant, which it's hard to argue with Durant.
Don't disrespect Kawhi, though. Kawhi's pretty good.
He is really good.
We wrap up the show on the other side. It's the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, unleashes the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM Rewards. Every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn BetMGM rewards points you can redeem for online bonus credits like bonus bets and bet insurance tokens. Planning a trip to Vegas? You should. You can also convert your BetMGM points into MGM rewards points you can use towards dining shows and hotel rooms at over 20 MGM Resorts properties located on the Las Vegas Strip and nationwide. Sign up with BetMGM or log on today to get an even bigger piece of the action with BetMGM Rewards. Eligibility restrictions apply. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly and offer resources to help you make appropriate choices. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. New and existing customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire in 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLING. What's your favorite BetMGM property on the Strip, Michael?
You know, that's a tough one. I mean,
there's a lot of them.
There's so many good ones. You know, that's a tough one. I was at Mandalay Bay the other day. That was absolutely. I was in their sports book the other day. That was impressive. Mm-hmm. That was really nice over there.
I don't want to go off as bourgeois here, but I think I'll go Bellagio.
Yeah, the Bellagio is good. Have you done the steakhouse there on the Bellagio?
I've never had the steakhouse at the Bellagio.
That was impressive. Yeah,
because no, I think it's right there on the water.
Yeah, Barry's here is outstanding here at Circa, but SW was really good too. The Bellagio is just. Really,
it's
so
terrific.
Nice.
I mean, yeah, it's hard to beat the Bellagio there. Just anytime I want to go and just be a tourist in my own town,
there you go.
It's the place to go. So if you see me, say hi or don't.
He'll be the one with the Tua jersey on. In case you don't know who he is, he'll have a Tua jersey on.
Kidding me, man? It's Justin Fields over here. Oh, yeah,
it will be one of the two. Maybe when you're incognito, you have a Justin Fields jersey on. Sure.
The Fields Dak one. I'm still seeing if somebody can get that sorted out for me.
Yeah.
That we saw the other guy had in the Bears Cowboys game earlier last season. So maybe we'll get that sorted at some point between now and the NFL season.
You know, I love the one of the things I think we learn about the draft, Femi, is memories of teams, the perception of your team from the time the season ends until now has dramatically changed. I mean, you would think the Giants beat Philly once. You would think the Giants beat the Cowboys twice. You would think the Giants went out and played San Francisco and stoned them. I mean, like, this giant love affair that's going on is like, do we realize that they struggled down the stretch?
I guess not.
Do we realize that they lost to Detroit at home convincingly? The Detroit didn't make the playoffs, by the way, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if Detroit would have been a team they had to face in the first round of the play, they would have lost that
game. Detroit would have beat them up.
They would have lost that game. Like, there's just, it's an amazing how they have come to the realization they think they're so much better than they are when there's no evidence. I mean, it's one thing to have confidence without evidence, but this is bizarre. You know, they lose to the Vikings in that game. I mean, let's go through it. I mean, they lose. They beat the Texans off the bye. Mm-hmm.
So they were 7-2 to start the season.
Okay, they beat the Texans off the bye. The Texans don't punt in the second half. They turn the ball over, win that game. Lose Lions convincingly. Lose to the Cowboys. You know, tie the Commanders at home. You know, get whooped by the Eagles. Go down and beat the Commanders. Lose to Washington. And then beat a bad Colts team. And then lose to the Eagles, you know, with Davis Webb at quarterback. Get that. I mean, like seriously, where – tell me – okay, you played a good team in Philly, you gave up 48 points. You played a good team in Dallas, you got beat. You played a good team in the Lions, you got beat. And the Lions aren't even a playoff team. Like, tell me another good team you – like, where is all this optimism coming from? They signed – because they signed a linebacker?
They won a playoff game. They were excited about the playoff victory.
But we know this from history, you know, that they're – you know, that there's 50% turnover in playoff teams every year because the schedule gets harder.
And also fortunate breaks that go your way one season typically go the other way the next season.
I mean,
that's what everybody has circled the Vikings as that team. I think Viking fans, they've realized, okay, we were a little fortunate.
Yeah, the Vikings fans have more reason to be optimistic. You know, there's a report out today that Dalvin Cook's going to get cut after in June because they're so salary cap strapped, which...
I wonder why I heard that before.
Yeah, I mean, so, you know, like that is what's the effect of this Kirk Cousins... on the tender, which goes back to Baltimore. Do you really want to put Lamar on a tender year to year? You know, where are you going with that? So there's got to be short-term and long-range thinking.
Speaking of the short-term thinking, because we want to try to cash some tickets here in the next couple of weeks with the NFL draft, and that'll bring us to our pro tip. All the reports that are coming out, and we've talked about it a lot on the GM Shuffle podcast, CJ Stroud, quote unquote, falling down the board. Now it's more so Stroud is not going to go in the top two.
I want to be really clear here. I think this idea of falling is really bad to the player because essentially he was mischaracterized. He's not falling. He's now being categorized incorrectly. And so we have this notion that he's falling to justify everybody who had him going two.
Or one.
That's not fair. He was never put in the right place. Falling or rising are all perceptions based on a poor starting point. When you rise, it was a poor starting point. When you fall, it was a poor starting point. It was all done by people that don't know what they're talking about. So that's the NFL draft. There's a lot of experts that don't know what they're talking about, that have never been in a draft room, that have never run a draft, that have never put together a board, that have never graded a player, never written a report on a player. So you're asking, so you're going through the dynamics of it all, and you're asking that, and now you're saying he's, that person's saying he's falling. No, 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 no. You were wrong on that player. Mm-hmm. You were wrong on that player to start off with. He never fell.
Yeah, you're just playing catch up. And we always talk about it this time of the year. The media starts to catch up to what the actual reality is amongst the teams in the league there. And I think one pro tip that we have in mind is that if there are ways, now nobody's ever saying anything is a lock, but it does not seem like CJ Stroud is going to go in the top two. Look for kind of ways to bet on that outcome, whether it be Stroud to go third overall or Stroud maybe with to pair him with a team that's outside of that top two. But I think ways to kind of play Stroud not going in those first two selections.
I think anybody who has a ticket on Stroud to be one or two should jump back in here and offset that loss. Because now you're going to win either way. Because the number is too good here now at plus 275 for him to go later. So you're going to make money no matter what happens. And essentially, as a bettor, remember, gambling is when you're is one day. Investing is over time. This would be an investment. Like, okay, I've got this ticket on Stroud to go one or two. It doesn't seem right. Let me jump back in on this market, and I'll end up making my money back. It's like the MVP voting in football. You can make money in MVP voting as long as the odds are over 5-1. If you take $500 and bet $100 on each player, you got a chance to make a little bit of money. Now, you got to give your money away for 6 months, but you have a chance. It's the same thing here. If you've got a ticket for Stroud to be in one or two, you need to jump back in here and make this, and you guarantee yourself a profit.
Yeah, talk about the smart investments. There was ample opportunity to invest in Bryce Young to go number one. I mean, how long was he plus 300, plus 250, plus 240?
Like, and it took DraftKings, it took BetMGM a long time to adjust that number. They were out, they had it out there. They were vulnerable to it, and we had the info, to me, which seems reliable. That's why you have to react to the market.
Well, Bryce Young is a riser at the sports books.
Yeah, right.
He is. Before we get out of here, though, I do want to give out one play that I have in the NBA. It's not a particular game. It's with a series. And it goes in line with what Jonathan Von Tobel, our NBA senior analyst, talked about. TG talked about that in the last segment as well. Of this Clippers-Suns series going to be a long series. I think it's longer than the betting market indicates. I played over 5.5 at minus 110. I think this is going to go 6 or 7 games. I believe the Suns are going to win, but it's not going to be as easy because you're dealing with Kawhi Leonard, who's a very, very high-level playoff performer. And Ty Lue, one of the best in-series adjusters as a head coach.
Just look, if you think it's going 7, you can make money betting the Suns at 4-3, and you can make money betting the Clippers at 11-1. And so you could sit back and all you're rooting for is 7 games.
Yeah.
That's a nice, comforting situation. Root for 7 games. We have to get Buda Baker in, by the way. Elliot will not let us go home if we don't get Buda Baker.
That's my guy. He's from my own neck of the woods, Pacific Northwest. What's going on with that? He's asking for a trade?
I think what you have to understand is the market changes rapidly in the NFL. Mm-hmm. And, like, the receiver market has changed dramatically. It's why Hopkins wants a new contract. Mike Evans will probably want a new contract, even though Tampa can't afford to give him one. Buda's, one of the most underpaid safeties based on the time he did his deal to today with these new deals coming out with the Jesse Bates deal and all that. Mm-hmm. He, wants a new deal, and maybe he just doesn't feel like that organization, which to me has now become the most toxic organization in football with Dan Snyder being removed in Washington. I think he probably feels like they've got no chance to really win, and it starts with them paying the quarterback. It starts with them paying the quarterback, a guy that they paid 2 years before they had to pay him. The problem. It isn't that they paid Murray. The problem is they did it 2 years before they had to do it. They could have waited 2 years and done it, but they bucked to the perception. They bucked to the Twitter. They bucked to the media. They bucked to all that. When you do that, you're going to get what you deserve.
Was it the media or was it Eric Burkhart, the agent, sending
it? It could have been everybody.
Letter.
I mean, I think it was, I think the media has a lot to do with it too.
Yeah, well, he's got a good agent. But Baker, do you think he gets his money from Arizona or he suits up for somebody else?
I think he's a really good player. I think, to me, if you're Arizona, you're probably, you want to reset. He's one of the core components of your team. You need a guy like him on your team. I think you got to get him back. Yeah.
That does it for us on the Lombardi Line. Thank you to Rich Gannon, Jonathan Von Tobel, and Thomas Gable. For Michael Lombardi, I'm Femi Abebefe. For our producer, Elliot Bowman, and the entire crew behind the glass, we wish you all the best of luck. The Handle, Dave Ross, Matt Brown, coming up next.